Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, we've been telling you that throughout the summer we want to talk to some of Ireland's favourite chefs and bakers and cooks about their own favourite cookbooks and recipes. They're the ones they keep coming back to time and again, the ones they find the most inspirational. Well, this week I'm delighted to let you know that I'm joined by Catherine Fulvio from Ballynockan House. Catherine, lovely to have you with us.
Thank you very much, Claire.
This is great, finding out, you know, what chefs and cooks, what books you like to go back to. It's just been really interesting for us over the last few weeks. First of all, what do you think makes a good cookbook? What are you looking out for?
I always think cookbooks fall into two categories, Claire. You have the practical cookbook, the one you love because the recipes are just gorgeous in it and you'll make them for your family and your friends. And they're so practical that their chapters are starter, soups, main course, desserts, and maybe the odd little treat somewhere, you know, a little drink or something at the end. And there you go to.
Useful.
Useful. And then there's the cookbook that transports you to a different world. It's almost autobiographical. It tells somebody's life story through food and you're transported along. But yet it's peppered with the most gorgeous recipes of dishes that you want to make too.
Mm-hmm. But it's more for sitting down in a chair with a cup of tea and maybe you're not even thinking about cooking, but you're just having a nosy and a browse through the book.
Yes, it's like a half coffee table cookbook. Half cookbook, you know, half practical.
Yeah, I get exactly what you mean. So you have brought in some of the books that you really love. And that's the one that is, you're holding it up there now, Falling Cloudberries
by Tessa Kiros.
Never heard of it.
And look at the
and
size
And you love
of
it.
I do. I got it as a gift in 2005. I can't believe it was written in 2004. She has written other books since. And she's a very interesting woman.
So tell us about her, first of all.
Tessa is of multi-origin, as in she has on her father's side Cypriot roots. So she's got this Greek Cypriot, and on her mother's side, Finnish roots. But they lived in London. And then when she was young, they emigrated to South Africa. And in South Africa, they had a lady from Peru who helped them clean the house and so on. So she's been influenced by recipes and dishes
got it
from all
going
over the
on.
World. And then when they're in South Africa, she talks about family gatherings with friends, and there was Irish people involved and British people, and they all brought their own dishes. So she has a whole medley, a collection of flavours and memories that she puts into this book.
And is she a pro? She's a chef.
Okay. And she worked in London in the Groucho Club, actually. So she's worked around the world as a chef as well. But her way of writing and her description is just so wonderful. You just want to dive in and be in those countries. One thing, now, I'm not being negative, but the photographs don't transport you. So her words have to, and that's the positive. And that's why you read every detail in it.
Yeah, because I'm so transparent. I won't make something unless I can see it. I need to see it. I need to see that it has worked and it's beautiful. And then I'll make it.
Well, you might struggle with this now because, like, there's family photographs.
Oh,
here,
right.
Claire.
That's like her brother or her
that's
uncle
not
or something.
I encourage you to make the recipe. I know. But no, there are some gorgeous pictures in here as well of beautiful dishes, fish dishes and the likes as well.
So it was the prose, really, that you fell for in 2005 when you got the book, was it?
I just like the whole story. Because for me, I see a bit of similarity with myself. Of course, I haven't travelled the way Tessa has and I don't have the same roots. But I'm third generation at Ballynockan House Cookery School in Wicklow, and for me it's a long history. I learned to cook from my grandmothers, both grandmothers, and particularly my mother's mother, and we grew up on a farm to table. We made all our own butter, all our own yogurt. My mum opened one of Ireland's very first farmhouse bed and breakfasts. We ended up cooking three meals a day because we were in the countryside. People had nowhere to eat, so we cooked breakfast, lunch and dinner.
When you were children at
yes.
home almost?
Yes, oh yeah, yeah. So we would have worked in the bed and breakfast, or you had a choice on the farm or the B&B. The B&B was much easier now. In the warm kitchen, come on. But no, making the butter now is a whole different story. But I can see that similarity.
You made
that
the butter yourself?
Yes, we did. Yeah, we took the cream from the milk every day and made butter. Mm. That was a phase Mum went through, in fairness. It lasted about a year and a bit, and then she was like,
yeah, very tough.
Yeah, but so the point is, you've got that history, you know, and that's why I think I was drawn to Tessa.
And when you were doing that, like, were you making simple food for the guests when you were children, essentially, at home? Like, what were you, 12 up to 18? when this was going on.
Yes. So I would have been Mum's assistant chef. So no, Mum was very, very, very good cook. Like, she had all the cookbooks, the Mary Berries of the world, and all, every cookbook. And she was always creating, because she was looking at ingredients growing, like the raspberries, black currants, and she was always creating new dishes.
What can I do with that?
Yes. Yes. And she was lastminute.com, Claire. Like, I remember very distinctly. Guests, all the full dining room, all the guests were having their main course, and Mum said, "Oh, Catherine, there's gorgeous raspberries in the garden. Go get them. We'll make dessert with them. I saw a recipe in a cookbook." I run out and grab the raspberries. I come in and she goes, "Read the recipe to me." And so I mash the raspberries as instructed and so on. And then she adds in the icing sugar and so on. And I said, "And then you fold in the cream, Mum." "Yes, yes, I've done that. What now, Catherine?" I went, "Freeze for 24 hours. And we had a whole dining room of guests. So it was very much like that. She was very creative. And I think that's where I learned my passion for food.
Yeah, and but if you have fresh cream and fresh berries and a bit of sugar, you're fine anyway.
You're fine, you know? Exactly.
And she probably knew that.
Yeah, and that's where I feel with Tessa's book, you can see the love that her family passed down for food to her, and the importance of those family gatherings and sitting around. And we all are still like that today. We love when we're all sitting around a table together having food. Nothing will ever change. This is going to be the same in the world forevermore. It's a gathering of people you love sitting down and enjoying something tasty together.
And are there a couple of things in there that you'll always go back to and make or refer to in terms of the recipes?
Yes, and she's very good in her descriptions. She describes beautiful recipes and the likes. But one of the things that I thought about, one of my favourite recipes in there is the prawns with lemon peri-peri. Now, that's not the peri-peri that we think of. This is a South African chilli called peri-peri, garlic and feta. So that's one of her recipes from South Africa. And she has a description at least 2 inches long about the salting of the prawns to get this recipe right, and how that's how her mother did it.
The salting of the prawns.
Yes, the recipe otherwise is very short. You literally just salt the prawns, garlic butter, peri-peri, more layers, you keep layering up, and then you put the lid on the pan and then you shake the pan
from
time to time.
But is she just talking about putting salt on the prawns?
Yes.
Or is there something different to it?
She's just talking about putting salt on the prawns.
Right, but it's what she would have seen growing up and what
and
it means to her.
Yeah, and also when she describes the recipes and how she writes the recipes, even though she's a chef, her wording is different. Like, I'm trained to write a tablespoon of sugar.
Mm-hmm.
In a number of her recipes, it would be a wooden spoon of sugar.
Okay.
Because the wooden spoon would be used to stir. So it's obviously a hand-me-down recipe, and it's clearly just a wooden spoon of sugar.
Right.
Doesn't matter the size of the wooden spoon. It's
yeah,
a wooden
that's
spoon
what I'd be worried about.
Yeah. And you know, like, I would say whisk well. And she writes, give it an energetic whisk. It's little things like that when you're just going, I
that's
love
where it,
it
can all go wrong, Catherine. Because sometimes I open the drawer when I'm looking for a dessert spoon and I think I've got a few different ones here now. Which one? I should really be using a proper dessert spoon measure, shouldn't I, if I'm following a recipe closely?
I think the dessert spoon is the worst description for anybody who really likes to follow detail of a cookbook. Because really it should be teaspoon, tablespoon, because they come in measuring spoons.
Yes. And you see, if you're baking, you have to get it right, don't you?
You do. You do.
You can't
to be
really.
Fair.
You can't really do the wooden spoonful and hope for the best if you're baking something.
My biggest disaster in my cookery school was I had a group in from Germany and they were making the soda bread, Claire. And I said, "Now you've got to measure the soda exactly. You've got to put in a level teaspoon of soda." And one of the men put in 11 teaspoons
11.
Of soda.
Oh, God, help them.
Yeah.
You see,
well, it was more
and,
my oven I was worried about when it exploded.
The German people would want to get it exactly right. So when you told them you have to be right, they would have said, OK,
let's
do this. So you've got another book with you there as well. What's that one?
I brought in my own book
for
the similarity.
Is this your own favourite? Because you've got how many cookery books
six
have you now?
Cookbooks.
You've six. Is this the favourite child?
Well, when you asked me not to pick my favourite before I came up, I struggled because I love the Bake Like an Italian cookbook because, again, that tells us story, and it tells these wonderful stories behind why certain dishes are made and why they've got certain names. And a lot of the baking in Italy started in the convents because the younger daughters got sent to convents years ago because the elder got married off.
Mm-hmm.
And so they brought the family.
There was a bit of that here too.
They brought the baking tradition into the convents, and they would have then produce delicious food for the priests in the area as well, but also for the local community. And that's why there's a wonderful tradition of baking in around Italy, in particular southern Italy. So that, I love that Bake Like an Italian book, but I brought in A Taste of Home. As you can see, it's well worn. And this is my I suppose it's my, I call it my farm to table book, and it is the story of Ballynockan. And not, I hadn't actually been looking at Tess's book when I wrote this, but in here, like, I actually have pictures of my parents' wedding and family documents and deeds and my family, my mother and dad's wedding invitation and little sepia photographs of me as a child,
so
which are most embarrassing.
You were taking inspiration, whether you knew it or not.
Subconsciously, yes, I wanted to tell the story of how I grew up and, you know, why, what motivates me about food and why I put certain dishes on the table and what flavours excite me. And in doing that, I had to go back to my grandparents and my mom and bring that together. And the one difference with Tess's book in Falling Cloudberries, she does refer to her grandfather's quite a bit in cooking. And I don't remember my grandfather's cooking at all. They were definitely farmers.
Yes.
They produced the food.
But she had obviously had a different experience. And we should say the name of the book again. It's Falling Cloudberries, because people will be, I think, maybe not familiar with it, but might like to be after hearing you talking about it so passionately.
Yes.
Just when it comes to putting together your own cookery book, and I know when you have a number of them, maybe it's easier because you don't have to reject so many of your recipes. But I'd say you have to edit a good bit, do you? The things that you would like to put in and the amount of space that you have?
Yes, absolutely. So when it comes to doing a cookbook, you start with an overall concept which you agree with the publisher, and then you start putting together your favourite recipes, and you could end up with about 250 recipes, but you've got to whittle it down to maybe 120 max, usually 100 to 120,
which is a lot actually.
It's a lot of whittling. And so what I've always done is I then lay out all of the recipes, and I might find I could have 5 pork dishes and only 2 beef, so obviously some of the pork have to go because you want a balanced cookbook. Or I might find I've used an awful lot of garlic in recipes, I need to change it up. So you will whittle it down. But the biggest thing really is when you test the recipes, Claire, because then you have your recipes laid out and they have to look attractive. It's like you say, you have to see the photographs to make
it.
The dish.
Yeah.
And it has to look attractive for you to want to make it.
Mm-hmm.
And so if something could taste delicious, but if it doesn't look attractive, I'm afraid sometimes that has to go to the bin.
Now that applies, for me, it applies with a new dish if I want to make something. But if I'm looking for, say I wanted your recipe for an apple tart, I don't have to see it then. You know,
yes.
I just want to try something different,
yes.
A recipe that I have made myself loads of times, but I want to see how you would do it, or a soda bread, or, you know. But I think if you want to make something new, you've got to see a beautiful picture of the finished product.
Yeah, you have to be inspired to want to make it, and you have to understand what it's going to look like when it finishes as well. And one of the challenges I've always found writing cookbooks is to try and make pasta dishes look nice. You know, and they tend to kind of wrap it around a fork, the spaghetti in particular,
yes.
To get it to stand into a little pyramid so it looks pretty.
It has to look a bit shiny as well, doesn't it? The sauce has to look shiny.
Which in reality, like when you're serving the kids the dinner, there's no way you're ever going to wrap that pasta around a fork and make it look nice. It just goes onto the plate.
And are you involved in that, in the photographs as well for the book? Are you there for that?
Yes, very much so. Yes, and therefore, obviously I write the recipes and test the recipes with my colleagues, with Sharon. And then, yeah, I'm always there for all the photographs.
Yeah, because
as you know, we write for the RT Guide every week as well. So we're always testing and writing recipes
and
as
writing.
Well.
But I mean, that's tricky as well, isn't it? To make things look attractive that really don't sometimes.
Yes. Yeah. And there's people that fall into the category of just, if it's a dessert, a dusting of icing sugar will tidy it up, or a sprinkling of parsley if it's savoury and you're done.
Yeah, well, there's a lot to be said for it. A lot to be said for it. Well, Catherine, it's lovely to have you in. Lovely to see you. Catherine Fulvio from Ballynockan House. And the book is called Falling Cloudberries by
Tessa Kiros.
Kiros. Okay, that is the one, that is the book that Catherine goes back to time and again. I suspect more for the prose and the story of her life than the recipes.
Oh, I don't know. You'd want to try that South African beef. Oh my goodness, it's barbecue beef. Oh, it's to die for.
And it's a beautiful looking book as well, actually.
Yeah.
It looks lovely. Mm. There you go. Put that on the gift list. Catherine, thank you so much. Lovely to see you. We'll take a break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.